One of the largest research studies that's been done, the symptoms for ADHD and the symptoms for a sleep deprived child are exactly the same. When they put these kids together, they couldn't tell who the ADHD children were and who the sleep deprived child. Expansion orthodontics, if anybody talks about extracting teeth, run, not ever, ever, ever pull teeth. Because if you're an airway dentist, you need to be working with somebody who does myofunctional therapy. That high blood pressure that you think is not related, that headache that you think that is normal, or it's probably just because you're stressed, it's worth checking into. Just because you don't snore doesn't mean that you don't have a restricted airway. It's so important before we put our kiddos on medication, the solution could be.
Dr. Sandhya Krishan, it is so wonderful to be in this conversation, sharing this conversation with you. You are based in Carrollton, Texas.
And yes.
I've discovered you through Instagram. You've seen what I've been talking about. We've discussed briefly in email a bit of your background, and you're very passionate about airway and sleep. The interesting part is that your mother was a dentist as well. So you've grown up watching her have her own dental clinic. Now, I'm guessing she may not have been into airway and sleep, because this has only really been, this sort of research is like the last 3 to 4 decades that it's come to light more. Share with us how you got into dentistry. I mean, I suppose you were inspired by your mother, but your knowledge and expertise has gone into a different direction from what your mother did. So how did you get into this space?
Actually, it's, you know, I'm so glad you brought up my mom, because my mom was my main inspiration of going into dentistry. The main reason. My mom and I were best friends. She was the reason I wanted to do dentistry. As fate would have it, she was diagnosed with ovarian and breast cancer. And I lost her to cancer right before I got into dental school.
Oh my God.
I found myself through dental school and graduated on the other side. And it wasn't anything that I had imagined, because my dream was to work side by side with her. She was the first female Indian dentist in Houston, Texas, was where I was born and raised. And so the idea was that her and I were supposed to work together. So then, working for about 10 years, I was doing dentistry, restorative dentistry. That's what she was passionate about. But there was something missing. I didn't say it out loud, because, you know, you don't want to hear a dentist say that they don't enjoy doing what they're doing, right? But I had destiny, and I believe my mom's my guardian angel watching from above, and nothing's a coincidence. And I feel like I ended up at Arrowhead Dental Lab in Utah. And I heard for the first time Dr. Dave Singh speak about growth and development, and made the full connection. And I myself was suffering from migraines that I thought were genetic. I had headaches all the time. I had grinding clenching. And he was speaking of things I had never heard of in dentistry, all throughout dental school and practicing for 10 years. So I come running back to the practice, and I tell my practice partner, I tell him it was like, and I tell my other dentists that do airway, when I heard that, it felt like someone had taught us in dental school that the world was flat. And in actuality, it's round.
Yes.
The missing link. It was the missing link. Mm. And one of the things, and it's not even dentistry related, one of the things Dr. Singh talked about was a Nuka chiropractor, or an Atlas or orthogonal chiropractor that believes in alignment, top-down alignment. And mm-hmm. So I said, well, let's find a Nuka chiropractor here in Dallas. And I found one. My partner went first, the guinea pig, let him go. And then I went, and mm-hmm. in just 2 visits, mind you, my first migraine was when I was in fifth grade. But I was probably 30-something, 35, 38, somewhere there. And I went to her a grand total of 2 times. And she cured me of my migraines. And so she says, quit telling people I cured you, because I may not be able to cure everybody. But that's what my patients, especially when they say, how is this all connected? Like, I've got a hurting tooth here, or I've got a grinding and clenching here. What does this have to do with my sleep or my migraines or my headaches? And then I tell them my story, because my well-meaning mom who learned all this stuff in dentistry sent me to the best orthodontist in town, and I had braces for 3 years, headgear, and I had I always get nicknamed buck teeth when I was in school, because the teeth maxilla was forward. Mm. And the issue wasn't that the maxilla was too far forward. In reality, the mandible wasn't far enough, right? Mm. The lower jaw wasn't far enough. So what a headgear was doing was pushing everything back.
Oh, no. No.
So then I find myself in dental school and the years after with the headaches getting worse and worse and worse. Mm. And then I hear about a NUCA chiropractor from an orthodontist who I'm not thinking anything is related. And I go and she accuses me of my migraines. Mm. At that moment, I said, there's something here that's missing and we must dig in further. That started our journey for Dr. Robert and I. And, we got training in airway. I came across Vivos. I became asthma diplomats in airway and learning the connection between dentistry and airway. And so it's completely transformed the way we practice. So now when a patient comes in, we're looking at the big picture. We don't have the tunnel vision that we were trained in to just look at teeth. If it's broken, fix it, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're asking the question, before it breaks, what can we do to do preventative dentistry? And not just dentistry. I tell my patients all the time, I say, you'll never hear a dentist say this, and I feel guilty sometimes saying it, but I don't care if you lose all your teeth. If you can't breathe, you can still live with a set of dentures.
Yes.
You cannot have good quality life without oxygen and breathing. That's the source. Literally is the source of life, right?
I'm so glad you said that. Because when I was an adult doing expansion treatment, so many professionals would say, you can't do that. You're an adult. You're fused. You're only going to tip the teeth. And you know what? I've kept all of my teeth. And even if I had damaged some teeth, the benefits to my health of being able to breathe properly and having the face structurally so that I don't have the temporal mandibular joint dysfunction, like to have your face out of alignment is a huge compromise to your well-being and quality of life. And it's absolutely not even the case that we're ruining the roots of the teeth. When this is done properly, all of the pressure is remodeling the palate and where the jaws are sitting. It's one of those fundamental things we can get right for people to have their whole body physiology working in harmony, right?
Absolutely. And it's what our DNA designed us to be at. But because of the environmental factors, we have completely transformed the way that our jaw structures are currently in the position that they're in, right? So I think it's going back to the basics. Sometimes patients will ask me, is this new? Is this new research? Is this a new fad or something else, like teeth whitening? No, what's funny is, or not funny, is that it's been around since the 1800s. You've absolutely sure you've read Dr.
Weston?
James Nestor's book, right? Not a doctor, but James Nestor's book, Breath. And then also Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Mm. Those two books completely changed the way I treat patients in dentistry, because what we're doing from the early stages of development, from the moment the child is born and drinking milk from their mother, from that very moment, we're designing and telling the jaws where to go from that moment. Mm. So it's not a fad. It's going back to the basics. So I tell my patients, think about your great, great, great grandparents. When we were living on the farm and living off the food, off the land, there wasn't a dentist back there in those times, or at least an easily accessible dentist, or there was no braces, right? Mm-hmm. And I had these nice, beautiful, broad arches. You've got these teeth that are not crooked. People are breathing well, living well. So there's a truth to what we had back then. We've forgotten it as a industrialized society. We just have to remind ourselves. remind ourselves that that's where we started.
Look back in history, a few generations, and we see, I would look at my grandparents and I can say, I know I have my grandfather's features, but mine are not popping off the face like his were when my bone structure was more diminished. I could tell I had his nose and his lips and his eyes. I'm like, but it's just not showing up the same way. And it was the structural quality that I was lacking that hadn't pushed everything out on the face. And yeah, it's just reminding people, just look a little bit further back in time and things were quite different. And, you know, how differently we eat. We don't tear our food anymore. We have cutlery. We don't process our food with the face. We have cooking technology to handle all of that. So we've outsourced so many daily habits that the jaws handled for us. And now our jaws are suffering. And people are starting to show a lot of interest in wanting to improve the cosmetic appearance of their bone structure when they hear this. Which I'm not surprised by, because the beauty industry is booming in the billions. This is what people want to know about. But what's a little more ambiguous and abstract is all of the multitude of health benefits that are available when the bone structure is at full size. But because breathing and sleep, they almost happen invisibly. You're either asleep and not noticing, or, you know, the breath we take for granted because it's so subconscious. And you're right, these books have been out there, breath and what happens when we sleep, but it's getting it into people's hands to read it, because sometimes it's not always the most attention-grabbing topic, breathing and sleep. So
you bring up a really good point. There was a famous podcast, I'm forgetting the name of the podcaster, but James Nestor was interviewed in that podcast. And the interviewer says something along the lines like, okay, you're telling me that there's all these wonderful benefits of breathing and whatnot, but if it's so wonderful, why don't we know about it? How come we're all not doing it? And James Nestor says, because it's too simple. It's too easy of an answer. So if it's not complicated enough, people are thinking, is it really important if I just tell somebody to breathe? So that's why I think the title of his book is priceless, because it literally is as simple as getting a breath of fresh air to help with so many different ailments, from anything from blood pressure to anxiety, depression. There's so many different things. Even this deep sleep is connected to Alzheimer's or preventing Alzheimer's. So there's so many, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many different other things. And with kids are my real passion, because we can prevent them from going down the path that you and I have gone down, and not spare them all of that. And it's not just so that when they get to our age, they won't have sleep apnea. For me, these formative years for them, while they're growing, this is the most important time of their lives, where they're learning, growing, developing. But all these kids are now being diagnosed with ADHD and being diagnosed, you know, or suffering with bedwetting or anxiety and depression issues, because, and we're blaming social media. Yes, there is a component to that. I don't want to deny that. However, if we go back to the basics, and I have so many kids that I'm treating that, you know, parents are saying, what does bedwetting have to do with their airway, or what is their ADHD, or what is grinding their teeth? My favorite quote that I get almost, you know, once a day, if not at least once a week, parents telling me, well, I know what you said about the grinding and clenching, but I asked the pediatrician about it, and the pediatrician says it's not a big deal, they'll grow out of it.
I had tell me that their dentist said, it's okay that your child mouth breathes. That's okay. And gave them, you know, they start talking about taking teeth out and it's not a big deal. And it's like, why have we accepted pulling bone or enamel teeth from people's skulls? And that's okay. But then you see what's happened to the muse, and they're being criticized for helping people stimulate their own bones to grow, to help them epigenetically express what their body wants to do if it's given the conditions.
Absolutely.
So, and it's bipolar. It sounds simple, but parents are confused because they can't walk into any dental practice or orthodontic clinic and receive the same advice, or they'll get completely different outcomes depending on who they listen to. And they don't realize that this is an industry that's got bipolar philosophies here. Some are like, we just want to look at the teeth. And then there's other people saying, we actually want to look at the bones that house the teeth. And by doing that, we're helping people open up their airway. And it sounds simple, okay, breathing. But breathing is really nervous system. How you breathe is, do you get high oxygen count in your blood, or are you in oxidative stress? And because this is our most vital molecule for survival, this is important to how your brain is going to work, how your heart and lungs are working, whether your digestion's going well and extracting nutrients and your metabolism's running well, or whether it's just shut down and you're going to have some stomach issues or irritable bowel or troubles with weight gain. Yes. So it sounds simple, but it's nervous system stuff. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you brought up gastric reflux or acidity in the gut and it coming up into the mouth. You know, when we used to see that in dental school and we were taught in dental school, okay, yes, if you see a lot of enamel worn down, that's acid erosion. You need to send them back to their PCP so that they can put them on antacids or handle the gastric reflux. But nobody ever dug a little bit deeper to say, hey, there's a negative pressure that's pulling these gastric fluids into their mouth. We didn't dig deeper to say why. Why is that coming into the mouth? Yeah. But so this missing link, it's in, I think with, and you brought up a really good point about the parents being confused because they're hearing it from us for the first time, or they're hearing it from you for the first time, and there's not enough awareness. So what ends up happening is there's a trust, there's a beautiful trust that they have in their physicians, but until there's an actual collaboration of chiropractors and physicians and pediatricians with the dentists, then we're all saying the same message, then we can actually help patients not be confused and then choose what's right for them and what's right for their child. But when they're getting this conflicting information, that's when it makes it really challenging for them.
And you're in such an important position, right? Because it's not just teeth you're doing. You could protect someone from chronic disease. Chronic diseases are now the biggest killer of populations in first world nations. Medicine's been great at combating communicable infectious diseases and dealing with trauma and doing surgical interventions, but they're really falling short of how do we help someone reverse or prevent living with a disease that's degenerative and going to reduce their quality of life for like the last two decades that they're on this planet. And it can start with the jaws because, you know, weight gain, what else? Cardiovascular disease. Those are the things that kill the most people. And people would be so shocked to understand that how their heart is, how their circulation's running, is to do with their jaws and airway. If this is up here, you're going to have a lot of strain on the heart and a lot of inflammation and sleep problems. And I know I'm bringing up so many different topics here, and you'll jump in and give us more of an understanding, but sleep, absolutely. If you cannot sleep properly, cancer is, you're running the risk of developing cancer, right?
It's inflammation. It stems from inflammation, right? And what happens is, and my favorite ENT in town taught me this, Dr. Jeff West, is that what happens in the first, you know, we sleep in 90-minute cycles, right? So if we sleep in 90-minute cycles, the first beginning hours when we first sleep, that's when we can go down to the deep levels of sleep. But as we start to go down to those deep levels of sleep, if there's an interrupt, if there's something that prevents us from getting to that stage, i.e. your tongue gets in the way, or if there's allergies or any type of inflammation in the nose and you're not getting that deep level of sleep, what happens is the body goes into fight or flight response. And instead of getting rest and rejuvenation, which is the primary, that's one of the things Dr. Matthew Walker talks about in his book is, yes, you know, REM sleep is famous. Everybody knows about REM sleep, and it's important to take things from short-term memory into long-term memory and REM sleep. But in deep sleep, what happens is that's where the cells can rejuvenate, can clear the toxins. And if we are never allowed to go down to those deep levels of sleep, we are just, we'll say, oh, I'm just a really light sleeper. I hear everything. Well, what happens there is if your body doesn't go down to deep sleep, then those toxins are never removed from the cells. I'm just talking to a patient about this morning. And then she's like, I feel like I have this constant brain fog. But I think I sleep fine. I sleep great. I get 8 hours of sleep. I get 9 hours of sleep. And so we reviewed her sleep study together. And I said, let me show you how many times there's an interrupt, a pattern interrupt. When you're trying to go down to deep sleep, your tongue or, and she actually had premolars extracted as a teenager. And her mouth had, was a very V-shaped palate instead of that big, nice, beautiful rainbow palate. Mm-hmm. And so I was showing her how this was all connected. And you could literally see the aha moment. And she goes, oh my gosh. So when I'm waking up, it could be because of the sleep apnea. I said, yes. Yes. And we don't know until, and I said, I don't know where your obstruction is coming from. I don't know if it's your tongue. I don't know if it's your nose. And I might not have all the answers. It may not be an appliance that helps fix this, right? But until a CBCT and look at that straw that's connected all the way from the nose down to the lungs, anywhere along that path, whether it's, you know, a deviated septum or enlarged turbinates or adenoids, tonsils, and where do the adenoids, tonsils come from? Because of that underdeveloped jaw, and that child is now breathing through their mouth, so you don't have the hair filaments filtering the air. So now the adenoids and the tonsils are having to catch everything, and so again, inflammation, and so it's blocking the pathway. And so, you know, sometimes I have to tell my patients when I start off, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go a mile a minute. You need to get reeling in. Like, oh my God, isn't this crazy awesome? Like how it's all connected. Yeah. And that's part of the day because they're like, oh my God. And I have to tell you, especially with my women patients, I have to keep a tissue box up at the front because for so long, people have told them, you're fine. It's in your head. You're just stressed. You're just a mom. How many times have we heard those?
Yeah, I've been told, just get more sleep. Some people need more sleep than others. I was told this by Dr. Chronic fatigue in my 20s. Like, yeah. No, I'm going to need to sleep during the day on a Saturday before doing something in the afternoon. And they've just ignored this. And it's so funny, as you say, all of these little symptoms, people say the bent septum, the trouble breathing nasally, the crooked teeth, maybe some pain or headaches, the inflamed adenoids, tonsils, they're thinking, Why did I turn out so bad? It's like, no, this was a cascade of issues that started at the jaws not being large enough, and you started mouth breathing because your palate is high. And that high V-shaped palate is bending your septum and shrinking the nasal cavity. So you're not inherently flawed. It's just a cascade. One thing went off and then everything's out of alignment. And people are like, I'm going to go shave this down and I'm going to plump this and I'm going to get braces. And it's like, you're trying all these things to band-aid symptoms. Just now you can see it, open up the jaws, grow the jaws. This is growing your own bone. This is an implant for you. It doesn't even need to be surgery. It's helping you grow properly. And I'm getting goosebumps when I say this because it's like, Now I like, it makes sense.
It's so exciting because you finally have the answers. You finally can, and I'm not naive to believe that this is going to solve, like one of my mentors said, you know, our appliances are not pixie dust, okay? It's not going to make everything go away. And I'm not naive to believe that. But what I get excited about is that this is a starting point. This is the place we can start and we can grow the palate, create tongue space, train the body slowly to breathe through the nose. And if we can do that and some of the things start going away, we know we're on the right track. And if they don't, then it's okay. Then we find other patterns. And I tell my patients, listen, I may not have all the answers, but dang it, I'm going to go and dig and research and find somebody who, if I don't have the answers for you, I will be your sleep grand central station. Let me help you. If I can't help you, then somebody else will, and we'll find it together. So that's the journey that these patients they get so confused. And I told a girl yesterday, I feel like you're chasing a carrot. You know, you're doing this over here. And she brought like a slew of appliances. And I'm looking at this stuff and I'm going, oh my God, well, what problem was this going to solve? And she honestly, poor sweet thing, she goes, I don't know what I'm wearing this one for. And I don't know, but I'm taking this. And she's like, well, I take about 9 different supplements. And I was like, okay, let's start back from the basics, right? Let's go back to, and my favorite analogy is I was talking to Dr. Robert, my practice partner, who I went to dental school with. His wife is an integrative gynecologist. Mm-hmm. She, I don't know if you heard of Dr. Andrew Weil, but she got her training in Arizona with Dr. Andrew Weil. And so she is a integrative gynecologist. And so she does purely women's health. And her and I were talking a few months back. And I said, I'm just curious, because I asked a gazillion questions. And I said, you know, I've been knocking on doors, at physicians' doors so much. And it's like, come on, let's work together. Let's do this. And some have been so warm and inviting. Like Dr. Jeff West has been phenomenal. And there's so many cardiologists in town that like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you could do an oral appliance to help patients and as a CPAP alternative. Mm. And so I started a conversation with Odette and I said, I'm just curious. The ones that do close the door in my face and say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. You know, we do CPAP and oral appliances don't work. I'm just curious, when a patient comes to you, before you knew about all this other stuff that we're doing now, how did you treat sleep? And this is coming from an integrative medicine approach, in which I really, really, you know, love and respect her. She's amazing. So many of the patients she's referred to us, she says that patients say that they she saved their lives with just natural holistic medicine. Mm. So popping pills all the time for everything. Mm-hmm. So I said, if a patient doesn't sleep well, one of your female patients, if they're perimenopausal or menopausal, what do you do? And so she was talking about hormone treatments and looking at their stress levels and helping them through that way. And then if none of those things help, then we were saying, okay, let's get let's go a little bit and dig deeper and get a CBCT. So at that very moment, to me, because I know of the whole dental side of things, I was like, to me, it sounded like an analogy. Like I watched this show on TV where they restore old antique cars and furniture and they bring it back to its original glory. And yeah. I said, to me, almost like if the patient is that, you know, 69 Chevy that's in a dump yard somewhere and they pull it out. And you can put brand new paint on it. You can put a new radio. You can reupholster the leather. Bring it back to the way that it was supposed to look. And it'll look gorgeous.
You're doing but under the bonnet too.
But if they don't put wheels on it, if they don't fix the structural issues, they can make it look gorgeous, but it ain't going to get anywhere. My Texan, slang comes in a little bit. It ain't gonna go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I was like, we have to work together. I can put the wheels on, but the hormones and the stress treatments and all those kinds of things are also very, very important. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that just the dentistry part or the structural part is important or the hormones aren't important. They go hand in hand, just like if I want to lose weight and I want to be healthier, and I go to the gym, I tell my patients this all the time, you know, I can't go, okay, so I bought the gym membership, I'm good? I'm going to be skinny now? No, I got the exercise. Okay, I'm doing the exercise, I'm skinny now? If I do the exercise and I go drink, you know, gallons of Coca-Cola when I go home, I'm not going to do anything. Yeah. All of things are so important. So when my patient says, well, I'll do the appliance, but I won't do the myofunctional therapy, or I'll do this, but I won't breathing exercises I can't do. So, and I understand, because I've been on the other side of the desk as well. I understand as a patient, we throw way, especially I'll speak for myself as an airway dentist. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, you need nose cones. Well, we need to do this. We need to myo, we need to do this. So I need to pull back a little bit and say, okay, these are the things I can do. Where we can start, how would you approach this? And then every personality and every lifestyle is going to be different. And they can say, Doc, I can do this and this. Is it okay if I wait on these? I'll say, absolutely. Let's start here. But I don't want you to think the things that are further down are not just as important. We just may pause them for now and do other things, because I think that's the biggest thing. Patients get very confused with all this information.
Absolutely. And
you have to simplify for them.
Yes. Tell them what you can do skeletally if they have the motivation and tolerance to be like, I want to do this. I mean, can you show them before and after photos of like, this is how I've helped adults. This is how I've helped children. And although it can take months, it might take a year or longer for an adult. The little by little increments of differences. When you start to see everything harmonizing, it's quite rewarding along the way. So I wouldn't say it's delayed gratification. I'd say you start to feel and look differently along the journey. And then once that's finished, you can say to people, now we need to look at retention. And myofunctional therapy is your retention. Otherwise, you could lose this progress. And I'm sure when you phrase it that way, they're not going to say, nah, that's not for me. They're like, okay, I have to do this. And it's so hard with kids, because my six-year-old, he's slowly doing expansion, but I know his muscle tone is bad. He's, if anything, he's probably got a reverse swallow or something. It doesn't, I know that the muscles aren't working for him yet. And with kids, I mean, you would know, tell us, what age do they start to follow instructions and internalize these new habits that you're trying to instill in them?
So every child's different. So my youngest child that I've put an appliance in, I use my Vivos growth appliance. I've started as young as two, and I have some two-year-olds that will just pop it in their mouth and treat it like a pathy and we're done. And the goal with the initial appliance is threefold, right? Lip closure, tongue on the roof of the mouth, and nasal breathing. Those are the trifecta of the myofunctional therapy. So I tell my mom, who already have a million things on their plate to do, I say, let's start here. And if nighttime wear is challenging, let's just start daytime. Let's do 5 minutes. Slow little baby steps. You know, we're not running a sprint. It's a marathon. Little by little. And then slowly after that. Now, if I have a different personality where they just say, nope, not going to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. Usually I see, for some reason, it's the older ones that can start negotiating. For those patients, I use whatever tactic works. So I tell the parent, listen, I don't want you to be the bad guy. That's why I'm here. That's why my team is here. Let this relationship be with you and us and your baby. And you give me the secret inside scoop. What makes them tick? What motivates them? And so let me give them the prize. Let me tell them, okay, if you do this, this, and this, I got this for you. And kids will move mountains. If they're, forget kids, adults will move mountains. If you give them some type of gratification, hey, if I do all of this, I will get this, right? And so for every child, it's different. So for some children, it's aesthetics. You show them a picture of a child with crooked teeth, or you show them a child with a nice straight line. And it's not just about pretty teeth, right? It's not about straight teeth. It's about forward teeth, but we don't go into that with them. But I show them a nice, beautiful, well-developed smile. And I'll say, do you want this one or this one? We'll print both photos out, stick it on the refrigerator, and it's a constant reminder. And they still, of course, get the prize. So for every child, I customize it to that child, what motivates them and their personality. And at the end of the day, there's a pattern. There's, you know, I know which child is going to behave which way. And I tell mom, listen, we've got the inside red phone. We've got the secret phone. You call us and you tell us if it's a FaceTime visit with us, if it's a prize motivator, whatever it might be.
Yes.
Here to help you along the way, so we take on that responsibility. You sit back and kick back and just look at the growth, mom. You don't worry about anything else.
And families do not understand how lucky they are to have you as this asset in their lives, because as a parent, you can be there nagging your children, nag, and they're like, my mom's just a nag. Until a professional with enough charisma and personal skills to entice the child and motivate them, that is rare. That's hard to find. I've gone to my functional therapist and all they want to do is prescribe a Myo Munchie and send me on my way. And I mean, I find kids have low tolerance for that, because typically the kids who need jaw development are mouth breathers. And so if you stick something that engulfs their mouth and blocks their mouth, they don't want to chew it because they can't get enough air through the nose. And so I get frustrated when that's their only tool. You need to have a professional who knows how to connect with the child, motivate the child, and give them exercises.
Yes. And there's thing as a failure. Moms are so tough on themselves. Like I'll give you an example, whether it's a Myo Munchie or a Vivos appliance, the idea, the concept is still the same, right? Is growth, is stimulating growth and development, and the built-in myofunctional therapy exercises. So I have so many little tricks. I mean, this call can be, I don't know how much time you have, but I go by the feedback. So if the mom tells me, hey, it's not working, the appliance keeps falling out of their mouth in the middle of the night. And then the dog gets to it. And that's a whole nother story. So we have a remedy for pets. But here's a little fun thing that we tell all our kiddos. in your case or in your face. We say in your case or in your face so that the dog's not into it. But if it's out a lot, you really nailed it on that. Then it becomes I tell my parents, this is a feedback. This is a biofeedback telling me that this child is highly dependent on breathing through their mouth. So we're confirming that. So it's not a failure. It just gives us more information. So what do we do now? We need to know, why is the child breathing more from the mouth? There's an obstruction here. So that's where my buddies help me so much. There is a spray called I call it X-Clear, but it's you can get it on Amazon. It's a saline xylitol spray. And so it's not addictive. It basically acts like a magnet and it pulls in all the pollutants. And there's a special technique my ENTs taught me. It's called the blow spray blow technique. And I can send that to you. So that we're working on removing the inflammation here in the nose, right? The second thing is, we don't want, and everything we do is mental also, right? So if you get frustrated and mom looks frustrated, then as a child, psychologically, you're thinking, oh my God, mom's mad at me. It's not working. Don't want to do it. Out.
Yeah.
So then what I tell my parent is, let's not give it the negative feeling. Let's always give them positive biofeedback. Say, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you wore it and it came out. Now what it's telling me is that we got to work on your nose. So let's do this, kiddo. Let's do a special magic spray. And the magic spray is going to help you breathe through your nose. And sometimes we'll talk about feelings. How does it feel when you can't breathe through your nose? And kids, you'll be surprised. Kids will share so much. And so if I give them, whether it's the nasal sprays, or I have these really cool things that are called Max Air nose cones. They're better than the bright strips. I actually sleep with them every night. And there's these silicone nose cones that you can put in, and literally is like doing the coddle test, and it's keeping the nose open. Okay. I had a child, a 6-year-old child, actually 6, 7, maybe. She was sitting in the consult and she was telling me all her frustrations. And her mom was. And while mom's talking, I turn around, I grab some nose cones and I gave it to her. And I was like, hey, try these, put these in your nose, see what it feels like. And I wish I recorded her. The child puts the nose cones in her nose and she's like, mom, I can breathe. I can breathe, mom. I just wanted to cry. I was like, oh my God, how does that feel? And she goes, this is so good. She goes, can I wear it all the time? Do I only have to wear it at night when I sleep? And I was like, you might lose it at school, so you might want to just keep it for home. But it was beautiful.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So just moving the nostrils, because I'm guessing they collapse and they can start to thin when there's not a lot of support for from the maxilla. They get, and then when you breathe, they collapse, the nostrils collapse. So for a child to hold those open while they're skeletally growing, have that open at night, could reduce the inflammation in the nose because they're using the nose, right?
And what it's also doing is it's training the body to breathe, because there's the philosophy our body has use it or lose it, right? So if we're mouth breathers, then the starts to develop more inflammation and it collapses because it's not in. So it takes a while to get that old motor starting up again. And so by letting the airflow starting to constantly come in through the nose, you're moving those hair filaments. Mm. And when those filaments move, there's a release of nitric oxide. When there's a release of nitric oxide, then you've got a vasodilation. So it's just a win-win-win. And it's practice. It's not just like, okay, one night I wear it, I'm good. That's the same thing. It's like going to the trainer and saying, okay, go to the gym one day. I'm going to be skinny now, right? When I wake up. No, you've got to go on a regular basis. And so, of course, it always gets a chuckle out of my patients, because they realize when they ask that question, they already know the answer to it, right? Yeah. So it's practice. And so it's baby steps. If I were to give a child or even a mom all of this on the first day, she's going to be like, okay, I'm done. Like, this is too much. It's already between soccer practice and work and fixing dinner. I'm done. Mm-hmm. So I meet my child, I meet my mom and my dad where they're at. Mm. What can you do? Is this doable? Is this something we can do? Is this something we can do? And I'll say, let's start there.
I love your tricks for the nasal spray and maybe the cones, because they are cheap things people can buy online today, because the child has forgotten how to nasal breathe, right? They've developed this oral breathing habit and they're very unlikely to go back to this unless they can feel airflow there for the first time in a long time, or if ever. Yes. Yeah. And then nitric oxide and the inflammation down, and we could potentially save them from having those adenoids and tonsils removed, which I did to my first two kids because I couldn't get them treatment for my functional therapy or functional orthodontics until they're like five, because they were too young to really follow the instructions of a my functional therapist. And I couldn't find a really skilled one in my area, as I said. And a lot of functional orthodontists will say, oh, you need to wait till they're like six or seven. But you're doing as early as two in some cases, which I love, because these children have sleeping problems as toddlers. Parents start to notice it. They say, my kid doesn't sleep well. And if they get the slightest little cold or virus, they struggle to breathe because those tonsils get even larger. And my daughter would wake up quite panicked as a 2 and 3 year old if she was unwell. And I'm like, I'm going to go with the ENT's advice and have these removed, because I just need to free up space until I can address these functional problems of the nose and jaw size later. So I would love more people to do it at two or three if the child's tolerant and will take a device. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful. And slowly, you know, when you see how moms come back and say, you know, they're not wetting the bed anymore. I didn't even know that had to do with their appliance. Or, you know, I had one mom tell me, I was treating a, he's 11 or 12 at the time. He's 16 now, or maybe older. But I treated him with even though he was older, he had a lot of ADHD, trouble focusing, waking up in the middle of the night and waking up the rest of his siblings because he was doing that. So mom was like, I'm at my wit's end. So we put him in the appliance, and she told me maybe 1 or 2 months into treatment, she's like, his English teacher asked him if he's changed his ADHD medication.
Oh my God.
And he's like, no. And he told me secretly, he's like, I don't like the way it makes me feel. Sometimes I don't take it. So the child did. Yeah. And it breaks.
Kids avoid that. Yeah. Kids can avoid being medicated. And, you know, there's now word that it's a cluster of symptoms. Attention deficit hyperactivity. You can get it from having sleep disordered breathing, right?
Yes.
But if you're taking something that's a stimulant, that's going to impact the quality of your sleep even further. These kids are already not sleeping well, and you're giving them a stimulant to help them focus, but it's not great for their health. It can be damaging. So I love that more doctors like yourself are talking about ADHD symptoms are the same symptoms as sleep disordered breathing. Kids are not breathing properly and sleeping well. And then they go through their life thinking, oh, I'm innately flawed. I get in trouble at school. I can't concentrate. My grades are poor. I must not be smart. They're not very coordinated because, you know, when they're mouth breathing, they're all crooked with the spine because they're doing this. And then the way they can turn it around, I've seen this in one of my child's life. 2 to 3 months later, people are saying, oh, they really come out of their shell. They're engaging with me as a five-year-old and looking into my eyes and being happier, jovial, not sooky anymore. It's like we can quickly diagnose kids, or before we do that, we can test breathing and sleep.
Yes.
And is there a watch now where you can monitor their sleep even at home, I've heard, because sleep studies are tricky for kids. If we can
get at home. You bring up a really good point. So a lot of people will ask, oh, so do I need to go do a sleep study? What do I need to do? And one of my mentors taught me, you know, with children, it's all about symptoms. So I don't get caught up in numbers. Even, you know, yes, we're dentists, and yes, we're like, you know, we're looking at how wide is the palate? Is it 30 millimeters? Is it 32? Is it, you know, 42 millimeters? Where do we need to be? But what I've noticed with my patients, when I start talking to about how much about the numbers, and I'll tell all my, you know, everybody to focus on this, is that if we focus on the numbers, we lose the big picture. And the big picture are the symptoms. So all children that come in, I have quite an elaborate sleep questionnaire. I'm treating my children to symptoms. I don't treat them to numbers. Eventually, the numbers will become important as they get older and as the permanent teeth start to come into place. And I use clear aligners for expansion. And so at that point, I'll be more focused on the numbers. But I tell my moms, listen, the bedwetting, the ADHD, all these kinds of things, these are the things that I'm focusing on. And that's where I want to see. Do you notice they're not waking up in the middle of the night as much? Are you noticing is that the snoring is going down? Are you noticing it's not like come hail water that the kid can't wake up in the morning and it's such a struggle for them to wake up in the morning? And I had this talk with my sister too. My sister is a pediatrician. She, a few years ago, got her license to become, she is an adolescent psychiatrist. So proud of her. And she got her training at CHOPS. So they're in Philly at the pediatric hospital. And she was saying before they treat their children and put them on any kind of medication, they make sure they're getting a sleep evaluation first. Mm-hmm. Because the research study, one of the largest research studies that's been done, that the symptoms for ADHD and the symptoms for a sleep deprived child are exactly the same. So in this study, when they put these kids together, they couldn't tell who the ADHD children were and who the sleep deprived child was. So it's so important before we put our kiddos on medication. And I know there are a lot of moms that are saying, I don't even want to put my kid on medication. I want to find a solution. The solution could be finding out if the airway is restricted and if the tongue's in the way or the nose is inflamed, and then helping them breathe and develop better, get the tongue out of the airway. And we could possibly see if we can get these symptoms to go away. And I'm not here to deny that there may not be a need for medication, but at least start here first, the non-invasive, non-pharmaceutical route, and see first if we can help this child breathe and sleep better, and then go from there. There's a time and place for surgery. There's a time and place for medication. Sometimes people will ask me, are you anti-surgery? Do you refuse surgery? Do you say we shouldn't take the tonsils out? No, I'm not anti anything. I'm pro child. So whatever helps my child.
It's really interesting. Yes. And you're even giving Invisalign to kids, which is interesting because you actually mentioned you're expanding the dental arch with Invisalign, which is amazing because you're creating that space for the tongue to sit high and also be a natural expansion for them once the teeth are out of the way. But not all dentists or orthodontists use Invisalign in this way, but so many of them are using it at this tool, but just shifting teeth. If we could really help them understand the potential that they have, that you can actually expand the arch, and then is it the tongue on the palate that even gives more growth?
Where the becomes it. But I'll one clear distinction is I'm not using Invisalign. I used to use Invisalign years ago. All these and things may have changed with the other. I haven't used Invisalign for a long time. I'm using a company called Spark, and more importantly, I am working with an orthodontist, Dr. John Warford. Here in the States, he has his company is called On Demand Orthodontics. And every dentist who doesn't even know how to start into airway, must know at least about Dr. John Warford, because he was the first orthodontist in my experience, because I'm not an orthodontist. I'm trained to be a general dentist. I have done the residencies with Dr. Ben Moralia, and I've got the training to understand about growth and expansion. And Dr. Ben Moralia is doing beautiful work, amazing work. In my hands, my focus was so much on the breathing and the coaching and the myofunctional therapy and everything. I wanted to make sure, my mom used to always say, half knowledge is dangerous knowledge. So I needed to work with an orthodontist, but most orthodontists that I knew that were doing Invisalign, Sure Smile, Clear Correct, were using the traditional orthodontic algorithm of bringing everything inwards. Yeah. Because I was growing them. I was using my appliances, expanding them, sending them out to the local orthodontist here, but I was getting smaller palates or being brought back in through IPR. So Dr. John Warford, I met him through one of my mentors, and Dr. John Warford is the orthodontist. So him and I, on every single one of my cases, I do the airway part, and he teases me. He goes, I know, you're going to say you want expansion to the max. And he goes, you can't ignore the bone. You got to pay attention to the bone because you don't want to push the teeth out of the bone. And so it's beautiful. He uses his orthodontic artistry, and I use my airway coaching for my patient, and together the patient benefits. He's using Spark aligners to bring the jaw and the teeth forward instead of bringing it back. So in his hand, so I tell every patient, patients will see my Spark. I've got this clear aligner, this Spark right here. So I'm using the Spark. Somebody would look at this and say, this is just Invisalign. So my favorite analogy is like, it's a clear liner. So it's like a spoon. I can use a spoon to eat, or I can take a spoon to go dig in the garden and pull the weeds out, right? Still a spoon, different purposes. Mm. So yes, all these companies are out there, but what I have been able to accomplish with Dr. John Warford with Spark is he is mesially, meaning forward moving the teeth for me. And I'm telling him what my goals are from an airway perspective. And he tells me what's possible because he's like, okay, listen, you're going to want to expand to the max in this person's case, especially with adults, you know, their bone is very thin. So we're going to have to be mindful of how we move them. And that's what I love about Dr. Warford is because it's very closely monitored, very closely monitored, because there's a lot of appliances out there that do expansion. And we have to be careful because you can actually move some teeth out of the bone. Mm. If it's monitored by an airway trained dentist who knows what they're doing alongside with an orthodontist who knows what they're doing. And so both expertise together, it's very, very important that the case is monitored closely because we took an oath of do no harm first. So yes, I want my patient to breathe better. Yes, I want them to structurally be wider, but there may be some limitations of where those teeth can go and we can't ignore those limitations.
Yes, Dr. Christian, you talked about expansion. Now I want to just shift gears to those patients who come in and say, I have gaps between my teeth and I don't like them. What do I do about the gaps? And, you know, I would be thinking, oh, gaps are great. It means you have a big jaw. But I guess sometimes the teeth can grow in a malocclusion and there's gaps. And we don't want to make the dental arch smaller and compromise the airway. So how do you handle those patients? What should they do?
Right. Great question. Two things that comes to mind for my, if they have flared teeth or lots of spaces, there could be an underlying myofunctional therapy habit that's causing those spaces. Doesn't matter if they've had ortho in the past or not, but if they've had ortho in the past, they'll say my gap closed, but then they opened up. So tongue thrust needs to be looked at. I am using Spark Clear Aligners to close those gaps, but closing those gaps by bringing everything forward.
Right.
We're bringing everything towards the front instead of tucking it at all in just for aesthetics to make it look pretty, because I want to make sure there's enough tongue space. And the space is usually telling me, of course, I'd have to evaluate a little bit more, but the tongue space could be the spaces are telling me that the tongue space is not enough. So I need to create tongue space. That's the key.
Yes. Wow, you are a wealth of information. I'm sure we could sit here for hours and just pick your brain. Is there anything else that's pressing that you want to get out as a message to parents or individuals, like common questions that you get or something you think people really need to understand?
Yes. For so many things, for my children, it's important to know that moms trust your gut. Grinding and clenching, snoring, doing cartwheels all night long, waking up in the middle of the night, bedwetting, it is not normal. Yes, there is something going on and your gut is right. And even if they're telling you that's normal, they'll grow out of that, do not believe that. If you can't, if where in the world you are, call me and I will find somebody in your area to get you some help you. Because I think what you're doing is so beautiful is that, like I used to tell my patients, I want to be I want to stand on the rooftops and just scream and tell everybody. So that's what I would tell my moms and my dads about their kids. For my adults, that high blood pressure that you think is not related, that headache that you think that is normal, or it's probably just because you're stressed, it's worth checking into. Just because you don't snore doesn't mean you have you don't have a restricted airway. And if you're treating a bunch of different other health issues, ask yourself or even ask your doctor, could this be related to my sleep? Could this be related to my breathing? And if they say nah, then find another person.
Who do they find? Because there's lots of different terms. There's functional orthodontist, full face, airway dentistry, holistic dentistry. Again, it can be confusing to find the right professional who knows about all of these things. Otherwise, parents get handed around the referral system and the time and the money is just crazy that they invest. Yeah. What do they search for? What do they Google search when they're looking for the right help?
Really good question, because I've seen so many different keywords, so to speak, in different parts of the world. I think in Australia, if I'm not mistaken, they call it orthotropics, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Epigenetic orthodontics is something that they can also look at. Expansion orthodontics, if anybody talks about extracting teeth for orthodontics, run, don't walk. Not ever pull teeth, because even in my neck of the woods, till this day, they're extracting teeth, and it breaks my heart. So expansion orthodontics, and ask if they are bringing everything forward. Going backwards is a no-no. We want to bring everything forward. It's all about the tongue space. If you go on their website and they talk about myofunctional therapy, that's a really good sign, because if you're an airway dentist, you need to be working with somebody who does myofunctional therapy, or referring out, or have an in-house myofunctional therapist. Because if you're trained well in airway, you know there's a huge component. So if they're just saying just appliance or just ortho or just something like that, and don't worry about the myofunctional part of it or any tongue exercises, then that's definitely something to look into, because myofunctional therapy is a huge part of growth and development. Huge, huge.
Yeah. Wow. It has been such an honor to interview you. You are such a gift to schools and families. They have no idea the trajectory you will place them on and how you will be changing their life. And that's why I like to get this information out, because someone might walk into your office and have great treatment, and then their child flourishes, but they thought, oh, you know, they didn't understand how it could have been so different had they gone to another orthodontist, how sick and the structural problems. And so the work you're doing is just amazing. You're on the ground changing lives. Your mother would be so proud of you. I'm getting goosebumps. She'll be so proud. You're so amazing. Thank you for giving me your time today to share your wisdom. And hopefully we'll get to talk again in the future. I'm sure we will.
For sure. Absolutely. Thank you. For the opportunity. I had so much fun. We could go on for hours.
I know. I get your energy is infectious, and I'm getting hot now. Thank you for your time, and have a really nice evening. It was my pleasure to interview you. Thank you.
Thank you for the work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Chat soon. Bye.
Bye.